Good morning again, everybody. Great pleasure. So it's our opportunity each week to hear from God through his words. And this morning we'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And we have been over the past, in our Advent series, we started looking at Mary and Mary's song of praise, or her psalm of praise, in Luke chapter 1. Last week we looked at Zechariah's prophecy. And we talked a little bit about how for 400 years, God was silent and had not been speaking. But then the angel Gabriel first came to Zechariah and spoke. And so Zechariah experienced God's first communication to his people in 400 years, right? So God now is actively, he's always active. Now he's vocalizing, he's verbalizing these things to his people. And Zechariah praised God for his mercy, for his kindness and compassion, and because that God is faithful to his covenant promises. And so there are many implications to that mercy. And he closed this prophecy by saying to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He is the light by which we walk. It is the power of his word. It's the power of the gospel in each and every one of us that fuels and should fuel our life and transforms our life each and every day. This morning, we're going to be talking about the shepherds and the angels, right? This is a more familiar passage, perhaps, you know, one that you would maybe typically hear preach. But we've been talking about prophecy most of the time with Mary and Zechariah. So we're going to focus a little bit more on the prophecy piece of what happened with the shepherds and the angels. So let me read for us Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, and we'll go verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for just the power of your word, the work that you do, and just the testimonies that we heard of your goodness and of your grace. Lord, it isn't, as I read in Luke chapter 2, right, it is you sent your son, right, for all people. Right, and we saw just a glimpse of that here this morning in your saving power and your words. Lord, so I pray now that as we hear from you this morning, or as we hear from your words, Lord, that your word would transform our hearts. Your word would change our lives. Lord, would change our thinking. Lord, we have to be humble. Lord, we have to put aside our selfishness and our wants and desires to hear from you. So, Lord, I pray that you would clear my head, you clear my heart to hear from you, as well as those sitting in this room. Lord, we take great comfort in the power of your words, and we are thankful that you sent it to us physically in your Son, but then in written form as well. And I pray this all in your name. Amen. So fascinating story, right? A fascinating passage. We'll walk through this, right? Kind of section by section, right? And so what we see happening here, right, are these shepherds, right, who are out in a field, right, doing what they always do, doing what they've known, right, to do their whole lives. And most likely, their dad was a shepherd, and his dad was a shepherd, and his dad was a shepherd, and his dad was a shepherd. Right? It's a family business. It's a family event, a family business, a way to make money and to earn a living. Right? But shepherds, right, were very ordinary people. Shepherds were very average. In fact, some people had a very negative view of shepherds. They saw them as kind of more lowly and kind of outcast, marginalized, if you will, kind of pushed to the fringes, right, of society and of the culture. But it is exactly to these people that God first announces the birth of the Savior, the birth of the Messiah, this long-awaited person who's going to come and make things right. And so these shepherds are in the fields, right? And my guess would be, right, that it was just an average day for them, an average night for them, if you will, right? They were just doing what they do, right? Counting the sheep, right? But they were keeping watch. They were on guards, right? Because there are predators out there. There are lions, right, who are going to seek to take a sheep. And so they're on edge, maybe, at times. Right? But they're being faithful and diligent to their work and to what they have been called to do. And then all of a sudden, in verse 9, this angel of the Lord appears to them. The glory of the Lord shines around them, and they were filled with fear. So they're there minding their own business, tending to the sheep, right? And then all of a sudden, right, there's an angel standing there next to them. Okay, not a predator, but probably like a predator, and they probably instantly go like on the defensive for a split second until they realize, well, hey, this is a little bit different. And now they're afraid. And I would think, well, maybe they would have preferred it to be a predator. Right? Because this is something like they had never experienced before. Yeah, they were on guard, they were alert, but not for something like this. Right, and in that moment, the glory of the Lord is shining around them. Right, God's visible presence, right, is with them. Right, and they have nothing to do but to fear. And it's actually literally, they feared a great fear. And it's an absolutely, positively appropriate response to what they are experiencing. In that moment, they are witnessing the visible presence of God's. It reminds me of Moses on Mount Sinai. It reminds me of the Transfiguration, right, where Peter, James, and John are there, and they don't know what to do. They're overcome, right, and they make some, like, hey, we'll build tents, right? They're stuttering, what should we do here, right? It reminds me of Stephen, right, as Stephen is being martyred, the first martyr in the New Testament, right, and he looks up to heaven, and he sees the glory of God. Right, and he shouts out, and they stone him. And as he's dying, he sees the glory of the Lord's. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3:18 these words, "And we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." And so this morning, right, as we're hearing testimonies of God's goodness and God's grace and his faithfulness in Nate and Kelby and Ksenia's life, right? Do we understand that transformation is one way that we behold the glory of the Lord's? Right? As lives are changed and their lives are transformed. But these shepherds, right, they're afraid. Right? And they should be afraid. They were right to be afraid. That was an appropriate response to that situation. But the angel speaks to them and says, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Right, this angel speaks, and this angel tells them and commands them, do not be afraid. Right? Do not be afraid. Now remember, God has been silent, right, for 400 years. Right? And these shepherds probably heard about God speaking in the Old Testament, heard about prophets, right, and him voicing things, but they have no way to understand and comprehend now that God is speaking. And so they are afraid, and the angel's saying, don't be afraid. Yes, this is unusual. Yes, you have no way of knowing about what's happening, but the angel is coming, right, to bring good news of a great joy. And the angel isn't coming to speak, right, discipline to the people, but to bring good news of a great joy. And that's why they're not to fear, because it's for all people, even shepherds. It's for you too. I'm not announcing God's displeasure. I'm not announcing God's judgment. I'm telling you there is good news. The angel's proclaiming salvation. The angel in this moment is proclaiming the gospel to these angels. The Savior has come. The Messiah has come. This long-awaited person has come to this earth, and therefore you should be joyful and not fearful, because you've been waiting for this and longing for this for years. And it's for all people. Israel, yes, right? The Israelite nation, yes. But there's wider implications here. There's all people will enjoy and see the fruits of the gospel. And you are not to be afraid, but you are to be joyful and rejoice. Because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's the Messiah. Right in that for unto you has echoes of right Isaiah 9:6. Right where Isaiah writes, for unto you a child is born, to us and a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Right, the shepherds likely knew that passage, likely heard that passage. And so they're seeing that something big and glorious is happening. Right, and whenever Luke writes and he uses the words this day, it always signifies, right, this dawning of something new. It's similar to what Mary said, right, from now on. It's a very similar way that things are now different. Things have changed. God is working. God is moving. He is fulfilling promises. He is being faithful to his people. He is bringing the Messiah to this earth to deal with sin and to provide salvation. He's a royal figure. He's from the house or from the city of David, right? He's a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. So there's this royal person, this regal person who has come. And you can imagine they're probably expecting, like, man, there'll be great fanfare. There'll be a lot of things happening. A lot of important people will be hanging around and checking this thing out. And they'll soon find out that's not at all the case. Right, but God is being faithful to his promises. God had promised David, right, that he would have a kingdom and his kingdom would never end. And now these shepherds are beginning to learn and understand that the final king of that kingdom has come to this earth. That final peace, if you will, of God's redemptive plan. The long-awaited Messiah is now here, and he's come, and you need to be joyful. Stop shaking. Rejoice. The gospel and the Messiah is here. So the shepherds hear those words, right? But like us, right, sometimes we need more than just hearing the words. Right, and so in verse 12, the angel provides a sign. Right, it's actually the first sign. Right, here's something, shepherds, that you can witness, that you can see, that's going to show you, right, that what I've told you, what my words, I'm backing my words now with a sign of what I have just said. I want to give you tangible proof. I want to give you details. We don't want you to miss what's happening here. They're going to identify the child, but it's also going to authenticate or make real and true the words that the angel has just spoken. And that they're going to go and they're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, and he's going to be lying in a manger. Right? It seems very, very simple and very plain, right? And if you're a shepherd, if you were a shepherd back then, right, wouldn't you maybe be scratching your head? I would be. wait, this is like from the line of David. Like, it's got to be this big. Like, we mean manger. And this is exactly what the shepherds needed to hear. It's exactly what we needed to hear. This is the way that Christ had to come to this earth, lowly and humble. Right, and so the sign of the baby in a manger, right? It's confirmation for the shepherds, and they'll go and they'll see this, right? But it's also confirmation for Mary, because the shepherds are going to go and they're going to meet and talk to Mary and be like, you will not believe what happened to us. Right? This angel popped out of nowhere, right? And then there's going to be a whole host of angels, and they're like glorifying God because of your child that was born, that's in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Right, so it's going to reassure Mary as well as reassure them. And the angel gets done speaking, and all of a sudden, right, there's this heavenly multitude, right, a heavenly army, right, of angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's the second sign. Right? You've heard my words. I'll give you the sign of the baby in a manger. But now just to really, really make sure you don't miss it, get a load of this. And then there's a multitude of angels singing glory to God in the highest and peace among those with whom he is pleased. And these angels appear suddenly. Like, I think it's always, when I study and I prepare, I always try to put myself, like, insert myself into the narrative, into the story. Like, so I try to put myself in as a shepherd, right? Doing my thing, doing what I know, and all of a sudden these adventures are popping, right? It has to mess with you, right? I've been here in this building, right, and someone just comes walking in and I don't hear them, right, and I can't see them, right, and all of a sudden, like, they walk into the East Hall and say, hey, is there anybody here, right, and I feel like I had a heart attack and passed out, right? But take that times 1,000, right, the glory of the Lord is around them, and they're hearing all of this, and it's glory to God in the highest, glory to God for his mercy, glory to God for his faithfulness, glory to God for his grace, glory to God for keeping all of his promises. Glory to God for bringing redemption and bringing salvation that he has promised from years past. And it will be peace, and there will be peace among those with whom he is pleased. And peace isn't just like lack of strife and lack of conflict. Like, I think in that moment there was. Like, if you're in that situation and you're a shepherd and you have something against your shepherd buddy, I think in that moment you're kind of like, yeah, whatever. Right, but it's short-lived, right? So it can't just be about strife. It's not going to be too long after this, right, that Herod's going to order that all the children under 2 be killed. So there's going to be strife. There's going to be hard times, right? But it's this peace that comes in spite of what's happening around you, what's happening around this world. There's a peace that you can have because of the blessing that God has given, his faithfulness, his love, and his mercy, and his grace, the arrival of the Messiah, that trumps everything. You can have peace because of what God has done. It's his work. Therefore, you can have peace. Right? And God acted in a way, right, that pleased him. Right? God brought peace to this earth. God sent his son to this earth, right? Not begrudgingly. Right? Not like, oh, well, okay, I guess this is what I got to do now because they keep messing up. Well, he brought him because it pleased him. He was going to speak to his glory. He was going to speak to his goodness and his love and his mercy. It was going to show that he is to be prized above all else. God is incomparable. He acts on behalf of his people. It pleased him to do this. It's because he is faithful that he has acted. And because he's acted, you can have peace. And if you have peace, then you better be giving glory to God for the peace that you have. And in verse 15, the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. No duh. Yeah. Right? I think that's an appropriate response, right, to what has just happened. Right? There was no debate happening here. There was no like, oh, yeah, maybe, but we got sheep here, and what happens if someone comes and gets the sheep? It's like, no, we've got to go. Right? We just experienced something that no one has experienced before. We've heard this announcement, this Messiah. Like, we have to check this out. We've been given ways to know, and we need to know that this is for real, for true. God has brought something into completion that he promised years and years and generations ago. The Messiah is now on earth. We have to go. And it says in verse 16 that they went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Right? And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They went and it was exactly the way the angel had said. There was no doubt in their mind that this was real, that this was true. Right, and they made known. When I read those words, right, it makes me think of this attitude of like they could not help themselves. Right, there's no way on earth that they could stay silent after hearing what has just happened, after seeing what has just happened, after now seeing like confirmation of like they said it, this is the way it is. Right, they had to share this good news. Right? They told Mary and Joseph. Right? I'd like to think they're probably like stuttering and stumbling and interrupting each other and be like, quiet, man, and let me finish. And like just trying to like, this is crazy. Right? And there's probably people coming in and out of the inn, right? The baby's been born. They want to see the baby. They're telling people, you won't believe what happened to us. I'm like, you're a shepherd, I know, but you gotta listen to this. Right? And they're telling people they can't help themselves. God has done an amazing thing. We have heard from God. God sent an angel to speak to us. We heard angels singing and glorifying God because of his faithfulness and his goodness. You need to understand what is happening here. It makes me think of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 9:16, where he says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Right? I have to do it. And they were driven by having to proclaim what God has done. And then there are three reactions in verses 18 to 20 to the shepherds' faithfulness in proclaiming what they had heard and what they have seen. And we see three snapshots of what people did when they heard. And all who heard it, in verse 18, says they wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. So the first reaction are these people, right? Everyone who heard this, right? Everyone who heard the shepherds speaking, right? Their reaction was they wondered. Right? And that's kind of an ambiguous word, right? But it basically means that some of them questioned, some of them were amazed, and like, really? Angels? You? Sure. Some of them like were like considering, like, okay, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense here. Right? So there's this sense of wonder, right, and questioning and amazement about what has just happened, what they have just heard. That's the first reaction. The second reaction is Mary. Right, what did Mary do? Mary treasured up all these things. She pondered them in her heart. Right now we know from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, Mary's song of praise, we know that Mary had this understanding that God was doing something great. Even though she was of lowly estate, God was using her to accomplish his purpose. She had an understanding. Remember, she's 14, 15 years old, and she has this understanding of what God is doing. Right, but right, she treasured up all these things and she pondered them in her heart. Right? She's keeping in the forefront of her mind her conversation with the angel Gabriel about what was going to happen to her and how God was going to use her. She's keeping in the forefront of her mind these shepherds who are going to say, you will not believe what happened. You will not believe what this angel told you. You don't believe the songs that we heard sung to the glory of God. It's all in the forefront of her mind. And she continues to think through these events, and she's trying to understand better what's happening. She's trying to connect the dots, if you will, about what is God doing here? What does this mean? What are the implications? Right? She had to have unanswered questions. Right? But it's in the forefront of her mind, just glorying in what God is doing. And then you have the shepherds, right? And their reaction was to return to what they knew what to do. Right? They were shepherding. Right? But how did they return? Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Right? They're probably talking 900 miles an hour. Right? Reminds me, it made me think of my daughter Dory. You're never supposed to use your children as illustrations in a sermon. I'm totally going against that right now. She would be fine with it, I'm sure. I'll find out in about a week. Right? The first time that Faith and I gave her hot chocolate. Okay? And first child's, new parents, okay? And so we're like, yeah, we'll give her hot chocolate. And she likes chocolate, it'll be fine. Right? We didn't dilute it at all. We didn't like water it down, give a half serving, anything like that. We just gave her hot chocolate. I've never heard a child talk so fast in my life. Right? And she's like, she's not gonna sleep for 3 days. Right? I feel like the shepherd are probably doing that. They're not just kind of like slowly walking back to the field. Like they're like running back to the field. They're like, you know, you think what you did? And they're like glorifying and praising God for what they had seen, for what they had heard. Right? The angel told us these things, and it was true. God spoke to us, and it's true. He says he's going to do things, and he does them. He is so faithful. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. So how do we respond, right, to the work of God? This is where we'll end this morning. How do we respond to the work of God? How do we respond when we hear the testimonies like we heard this morning, when we hear other people sharing about work that God is doing in their lives? How do we respond? Do we question? Really? Are you sure? Do we treasure and ponder these things and get blown away by what God is doing in people's lives as he's transforming people's lives by the power of his Son and the gospel? Or do we glorify and praise God? And I think, right, if we're honest, we do all three, right? And I think, honestly, that in those moments, right, the reactions, the responses that we see of all the people involved here were appropriate, right? And so it's okay, right, to question. It's okay to question, right? And you could be here this morning, and you've heard testimony. You've seen people be baptized. You've heard God's word preached. You've heard a song sung. You've heard prayers prayed. And maybe you have questions. That is absolutely okay to have questions. But like I say, I think, not every week, but a lot, like, don't leave here without asking the question. Don't leave here without speaking to myself. Grab Breck, grab Grant, grab someone and just say, hey, I've got a question. Right? We want to talk to you. We want to answer those questions to come alongside you. It is okay to have those questions and to be pondering and considering and seeking and trying to understand what God is doing. Right? It's okay to ponder and treasure things in your heart and to sit sometimes in just silence and try to take in all that God is doing in the many, many ways that he is blessing you and blessing your life, and we miss so much of those blessings. Right? We're so blind to all that God is doing, but it is absolutely okay to sit and to treasure and to ponder. Right? We need to do that. We need to do that work. Then number three, it's absolutely okay to glorify and to praise God. God is faithful. Right? God promised his Son back in Genesis 3:15. To Eve, and he promised that son, as he was pronouncing judgment because of the sin that had entered the world, the sin that had marred perfection and the beauty of his creation and this perfect relationship that he had with Adam and Eve in the garden. He walked with them in the cool of the day, but in their selfishness and in their pride, they sinned against God. They rebelled against him. But even in that moment, he brings in hope and gives glimmers of, there will be an offspring that will crush the head of Satan. Praise be to God that he is faithful. Praise be to God that he is true to his promises. Praise be to God that he is gracious and merciful. Okay? And so we need to be a people, right, that glorifies and praises God for what he is doing, because he is a good, good God and he is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we had to be here. We have to be here. Lord, we sing praises to you. Lord, it's my prayer that we would be a people that would consider, that we would be a people that would ask questions, that we would be a people that would sit and treasure and ponder your goodness in our lives and all the ways that you're working and moving and doing. Lord, that we would be a people that would sing praises to your name. Lord, those responses are appropriate. Those responses are good because it shows that your spirit is alive and well, and that you are working and that you are moving and that you are doing great things for your glory and for our joy. The gospel is a gospel of joy. Help us to be a joyful people. And I pray this in your name. Amen.